Hi, friends, and welcome to The Spirit Scoop with Michelle. Michelle is just your typical grounded tourist, Canadian loving girl who loves everything spiritual. Michelle's a spiritual medium, a Reiki master, and an angel reader. Get ready each week to dive into Michelle's own lived experiences, spiritual guidance and tips, awesome guests, and lots of spirits, of course. Together, we'll feel inspired. We may learn something new. We'll learn to trust in spirit, and don't be surprised if you have a lot of OMG moments. So now's your time to grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and we're about to start. Here's your host, Michelle Lindsay. Welcome to Spirit Scoop. I'm your host, Michelle Lindsay. Thank you so much for tuning in. If it's your first time here, welcome. But if you are a regular listener, welcome back. So for today's episode, I have my friend Nomo here. We actually met back, about 13 years ago. We actually met through her sister. You know, she often talked about her older sister who I didn't meet. And at that time I was doing photography, and, you know, she mentioned like, oh yeah, that's cool. My sister does photography. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, and then, so she always talked about her sister. And then I did meet her sister Nomo, and we clicked like pretty much right off the bat. We have so many similarities. As soon as I took a look at her photography page, I just was like, this is my future wedding photographer. Like, I'm already writing that in the stars of this late. This woman is going to shoot my wedding one day. Her photography is gorgeous, beautiful. I've done so many fun photo shoots with her. Highly recommend her for photography. We're not talking about photography today, but she is so talented. Such a sweet person. We have so many similarities, and, you know, we didn't start getting close until about kind of around the time of 2020. You know, I think I saw on social media that she was doing Reiki, and then we just kind of started talking about that. So it was kind of around of like this kind of the same time where we were both more deeper into our spiritual journeys. I think I've always felt that like a soul connection with her from like the first time we met. Sometimes you feel that pull towards people. So I've always felt that. We started getting close recently, and, you know, I've been helping her a little bit with developing and guiding her through her mediumship connections, because that was coming in for her. And at that point I was teaching mediumship. So we sat together, and I worked a little bit with her teaching how to guide her through a mediumship reading. And, you know, I've learned from her how to do photography. So we kind of learn from each other of what we need at that very moment. It's nice because we're always like bouncing off each other. Like, oh, do you need some guidance with mediumship? Oh, do you need some guidance with photography? And interesting enough that we're kind of in the same spot right now where we are both really enjoying like sound healing. So we both are doing sound healing, and, you know, we just recently decided that we want to collaborate on a sound bath journey, because we both are from Vancouver. That is going to be really cool. So this will be my first collaboration with another sound healer. And that's happening next month, April 5th in Vancouver. So if you guys are local, there is a link in my bio that should be up. So if you are local and you want to grab tickets to that, and after listening to today's episode and you feel that pull to sign up, so that will be available. And we found this beautiful place, so sacred, and it's just beautiful. They have like all of these sound instruments already there, and it's just going to be magical. And I think you guys are going to love it. And I think you guys are going to love Nomo. But yeah, today we are focusing on Kundalini awakenings, because, you know, I had a conversation with her once when we were hanging out, and Kundalini awakenings came up, and that was something that I had a lot of questions about. I was like, I want to hear more about your story. And, you know, it's, you know, when you hang out with somebody for like an hour or 2 hours, or you go on a coffee date, or you take the dogs out for a walk, and it's like you can only jam so much in that time frame. So Nomo is somebody who, you know, there's so much depth there. There's so much life experience there, where this needed its whole episode of like, okay, what happened? What is a Kundalini awakening? And at this point, like, I didn't, during the episode, actually, I haven't experienced a Kundalini awakening before. So I came from a place of like really not knowing a lot. It's interesting because we've recorded this a couple months back. And at this point where I'm talking with the intro, I actually have experienced what I believe was a Kundalini awakening. So as I was like editing and listening back to this conversation, I was like listening to it through like a new lens of like, kind of now I'm kind of getting it, of like how it feels in your body, even though it could feel different for everybody. So that will be something that I will share later on as well, about how my Kundalini awakening was and how it felt. And that was just last month. So I know after, you know, your Kundalini awakens, it's like the time frame after of like how your life changes. Like, you can be shedding a lot of things that no longer serve you. So it's still like fresh for me. So I would like to share of like what happened and what triggered it. And I'll just say now that a breathwork class triggered my Kundalini awakening. And I know Nomo mentioned that in the episode of like, breathwork can trigger that, and or it could be meditation, or it could be yoga, or it could just come out of nowhere from just meeting a specific person. So it's so interesting. So we'll talk more about that another time, about how it felt for myself. But today I kind of asked her like, okay, what is a Kundalini awakening? I asked her like, what happened for her? Like, when did it start? What were the changes that happened after? And why do you think it happened in that very, very moment? And then we also talk about like, why not to like try to seek an awakening of the Kundalini, of like why you should just let it happen and not try to force it, not try to do all these things of like, I really want this to open up for me, and just trust that like, if it's meant to happen for you in this lifetime, it will happen. So welcome to the podcast. Today I have my friend Nomo on today just to chat and just see where the conversation takes us. Nomo is a Seikim master, which is a form of energy healing. She's a sound healer. She's also a women's circle facilitator here in Vancouver, BC. So welcome to the podcast, Nomo.
Yeah, thank you. I feel really honored to be here, and I'm really excited to be a part of this podcast. So yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Is this your first podcast interview?
This is definitely my first podcast interview, so I'm feeling a little bit of nerves here, but excitement, and yeah, definitely the first one.
I love that. I'm honored that you would come on mine as your first one. Yeah, just kind of have fun today, just see where the conversation naturally takes us. I think we'll start when we were hanging out one time. We kind of started talking about everything spirituality-wise, and then we kind of got into like talking about Kundalini awakenings. And that's something that I've always been curious about. It's something that I don't know a lot about. And you were saying that you had one yourself, a Kundalini awakening. So I would love to kind of hear your story on what that looked like for you and kind of go from there.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we all have Kundalini that remains dormant in all of us. So we all actually carry this Kundalini energy. In Sanskrit, Kundalini is actually, it's under the term coiled snake. So that coiled snake remains kind of that energy at the base of our spine. So what had happened, and I didn't actually figure out what had happened until a few years later where I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it was. So the initial time that it had awakened was, it was like in 2019. And I had actually, because Kundalini can be awakened in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes it can be awakened in, you know, people will have near-death experiences, people will be doing breath work, they'll be doing, you know, a very disciplinary spiritual practice, or, you know, it will always just come whatever your path is meant to be, that's when it will come. So for me, for example, I actually had met someone that I had known, and this was a counterpart, a soul counterpart, where I had known in that moment in time, I was like upon meeting this person, I was like, oh, this is going to be really significant for my spiritual process. And I didn't know that at the time, but I had this like knowing. And the first time I had initially felt it was when I had met that person, and it was like a couple days later, and all of a sudden I felt this kind of like massive, massive burst of energy. And it kind of felt like just like you're high on something. And it was, everything felt euphoric, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I've never felt anything like this before. I had never had anything to compare to. And it felt like energy was just running through my entire body. And
was this from just being in the person's presence?
I think that person's presence had something to do with it for sure. But I also felt like, you know, it was just my body just knew that it was time for me to spiritually awaken. And yeah, it was a very, very intense feeling. It lasted for, I remember it lasting for about a couple hours, and then it subsided. And for a couple years after that, I was like, what was that? I was trying to talk to lots of people about it. And I heard people say here and there, oh yeah, that was Kundalini awakening. And anyways, I brushed it off, didn't, you know, I kind of put it off to the side. And so years later, so this had happened in March 2023. My dad had passed away in February. It was February 3rd, 2023. And I went through my grieving process, and then March came around. I was doing quite a bit of, you know, cleansing on my own self, because I was grieving and I was basically like, okay, I need to put my life back together, because not only was I grieving the loss of my dad, but I was also, you know, the whole year prior to that was really, really difficult on me. And I had gone through quite a bit of a depression and lots of feelings and emotions. And so when my dad had passed away, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my life back together. So I had basically like committed to just a huge clearing on myself. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do 30 days of yoga. I'm going to do 30 days of journaling. I'm going to do 30 days of, you know, just mindful eating and eating really clean. And I can't remember where exactly this had happened for me, but I meditate quite a bit. I had been meditating every other day or almost every day for, you know, the last few years prior to this happening. And then I was in a meditation during this time in March, and I had felt this kind of, it was really strange. I was lying down and I had felt this, it was like a snake movement of energy running through my body. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? And it was in a way where it was freaky, but it was not, because it was still my body. And I was like, I'm in control of my body, but I can still feel this moving. And I was very scared, but not. It's the hardest thing to explain.
So that was the moment that you think that it finally arised. Like previously, do you feel like it rose? What's the word?
Rose awakened.
Like, so do you think it awakened back in, was it 2019? Or do you think it fully awakened in 2023?
So in 2019, I felt like it awakened. And that was my initial rush of the energy. And then in 2023, that was when it started rising.
Okay.
So the whole kind of concept behind Kundalini is, I don't know if you know the story of Shakti and Shiva, but Kundalini is basically life force energy. And it, as it rises, it's going to basically transform our entire being, and it's going to awaken our full potential to awareness and enlightenment. And the whole story is, as when it's coiled at the spine, it's the Shakti, divine feminine energy, and it rises. And she basically burns through all the chakras to meet her lover, Shiva, which is at the very top, which is the crown. So it's very, that's kind of like the story behind the Kundalini. So it had awakened in 2019, and then it was rising. I felt it rising. I think when the snake energy went through, that was when it started rising.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, no worries. So basically, when that had happened, I was like, oh my God, what is this? I have no idea. Kind of freaked me out. And I started, you know, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's just like a one-time thing. It was all in my head. And I had meditated for the next week. And every single time there was that snake energy running through. And I'm like, okay, this is not fake at this point. And on top of that, really kind of weird things were happening too. So my hands would go into mudras, and I didn't even know what mudras were at the time. My breath, it was almost like I was doing, this energy was making me do breath work that I didn't even know, because I hadn't done a lot of breath work at the time. During that week, kind of stuff like that was happening. So I was like, okay, I need to go and, you know, seek some help. And I was like, I don't even know where to start. Oddly enough, one of my friends, she was like, hey, come to this tea ceremony meditation with me. And I went to the tea ceremony meditation, and I had met this teacher. And oddly enough, she was a Kundalini teacher. And I was like, okay, so this is exactly where my path is supposed to lead right now. And I had
always worked out that way.
Oh my God, I know. It was, the universe continues to blow my mind.
She was a Kundalini instructor.
Yeah. She was able to recognize, because when I was doing tea ceremony meditations with her, she would see, because it would come to me in kind of swirls too. And in one of my meditations, I saw this like really beautiful being coming down and just like dancing. And I had woken up from that meditation, and I was like, what was that? And she's like, oh, that is Shakti energy. That is the divine feminine energy. It's the Kundalini. And because the Kundalini, as it rises, it's going to bring out your divine feminine essence, right? So the dancing, and I just felt so much like love seeing this being. And kind of from there, I, you know, thought to ask her to kind of be my teacher. And life got in the way, and I started to get really, really busy with work. So I kind of put it off to the side for a while. Then I kind of put it behind me, and there's been so much in along that whole journey, but that was when the moment of kind of like, okay, this is not real, or sorry, this is not fake. This is real. And this is what's happening to me. And then I started reading books and trying to gather information and trying to understand what was happening to me.
I love that story. And it's interesting because everybody, you know, goes through something different or something different awakens it.
I think it was also the combo of I was clearing out my vessel with like really good foods. I was journaling. I was being really focused. And then the yoga. I read later that yoga is actually one of the things that really activates it as well. So I don't think it was just the meditation. I think meditation is a really important part to help awaken it. But that was definitely like the combination of things.
That makes sense. Yeah, you have to be, it's almost like mind, body, and soul all has to be.
Yeah, exactly.
When you felt the energy arise, like, have you felt that like on your day-to-day, like going to the grocery shop or like working, or do you feel that like energy arise during meditation only?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. So initially when it was rising, it was only during meditation. And then the further I got on towards the year, like sometimes I would have just been standing there and I could feel I would have to move my body in that snake movement. You know, obviously, like when I'm grocery shopping and stuff, like it would just be like I'd be doing a small movement. But as time went on, I would feel it when I'm not just meditating. And even to this day, you know, like, for example, I was ziplining back in July, and there was like kind of like a moment where I don't know, I was kind of having an epiphany, and then I felt it. I felt it in my stomach, and it moves everywhere in my body too. So it can be kind of down my legs. It's usually in my stomach, but you know, I can kind of feel it up here. It would change to like kind of like swirling movements and stuff like that. So yeah, it's always constantly changing now that I'm a little bit further along.
Okay. And I've heard about like Kundalini awakenings. I've heard about it like coming up, like, you know, so for example, if it's awakening, it's like it only goes up to your stomach and then it goes back down. Does it go past your crown chakra and above, or does it kind of stop at your crown chakra for people? And also for yourself, like, do you feel like yours has fully awakened?
I definitely don't feel like mine has fully risen. That also is like, you know, it's such a lifelong process. And this is something that I also didn't know at the time when it had initially started rising, was I was trying to seek out teachers and stuff to be like, okay, help me, right? Like, help me rise it faster. And because when it had initially started rising, that feeling of, it was the same feeling of euphoria, like everything felt aligned, like my whole desires and wants and my life purpose even came into, like at the time I was not seeking out for purpose. I was, you know, just doing my Reiki clients here and there. And when that energy started rising, that was when I was like, okay, I found my purpose. I found my purpose. And it will go up and down. From my information and knowledge, most people, it doesn't get up here. Like most people, it's kind of rising and rising. It goes back down. But like a truly, truly enlightened person, that would be, you know, maybe a monk or a shaman or something like that. Those would be the people that where it's like risen up really high. But with Kundalini, you don't want it to rise really fast either. You don't want it to rise really fast. You want it to rise slow. And you also don't want to manipulate the process. So when I was seeking out teachers, trying to, you know, teach me how to make it rise faster, that in itself, I realized looking back on the journey now, I'm like, I should have never done that. And intuitively, I actually knew because I didn't end up seeking any teachers and I didn't end up seeking any guidance. I just allowed it to be. And allowing it to be, I see all those kind of differences and changes. And I'm like, oh, I actually didn't really need a teacher. I just needed a little bit of guidance. And
yeah, I think that's once we start to feel that euphoric feeling, we want more of it.
Exactly.
you just want to skip all these steps. But I think that there are a lot of dangers in that way. And we don't go through the life experiences that we're meant to at that pace. Like for example, you know, like growing up with not that much money and the next day winning the lottery, it's like, you don't even know what to do with that money. And, you know, it's just, you need to kind of build that up a little bit. What are some of the dangers that you've heard of people trying to awaken like faster with this type of energy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So people will go and actually, through my knowledge and research, people will go and try to seek to awaken this energy. And they will do Kundalini yoga practices. They will even go to, there's something called Shaktipat, and it's done by a facilitator who knows how to awaken the Kundalini energy. And the problem with not allowing the divine to just let this energy rise within you is if you are not ready for this energy, you are not going to be able to handle it. So there has been stories of people going psychotic. People will literally end up in hospitals. And, you know, like I have gone through points in my Kundalini journey where I felt like it was a little bit too much and it was a little bit overwhelming. And I literally had to ask the divine, please slow this down, please slow this down, because it was getting too much for me. So if you have a lot of karma to clear out, because the Kundalini energy is going to rise and burn through all your chakras, right? So it's going to go through the chakra system and basically dissolve anything that needs to be cleared. So if you're going to someone or you're doing Kundalini yoga practices, which Kundalini yoga is actually known to be one of the most dangerous practices because it's so unregulated now. The teachers in itself, they don't actually know how to deal with someone that's going through a Kundalini, like a massive, rapid Kundalini awakening. So like everything that I've read said, just allow it to happen naturally. And that was the thing for me is I didn't even know it was coming to me. And I didn't even have that awareness in me. And then when it had originally awakened, now I looked back on, you know, in 2019 and I was like, oh yeah, that is when it had awakened. And so, yeah, I definitely, you know, I even tell people about this experience and they're like, oh, how do I do it? And I'm like, please do not do that. And the divine knows exactly when, who, even if it would even rise in this lifetime for this person, and they are going to be the ones that choose that, you know, it's basically in your cards, right? So if it's going to rise, it's not. And that is, you just have to leave it and just let it naturally rise.
Yes, I think that's important too, because the more we talk about it, I think people are going to be like, oh my gosh, I want that too. How do I get that?
Totally.
I think that's super important to say. Do you think for somebody that might not ever experience a Kundalini awakening, like, what are your thoughts on, like, I don't know if your mind wanders and has come up with like why you think some people have it and some people don't. Is it just to clear past karma?
I think that depending on, you know, like how many lives that you have lived. So if you are here to have, if you've already lived multiple lives and you know, this lifetime, you are meant to have this energy rise. I would say that is chosen for you. So someone with more lives will be more likely to have this, as opposed to someone that's a very young soul, like their soul is not necessarily going to be ready to have that, right? And it just really depends on your life path. It depends on what you are meant to be doing in this lifetime. And yeah, does that answer your question?
Totally. Yes. That's kind of where I wanted to go with things. Like, do you typically, or do you resonate more with being an older soul or a younger soul personally?
I definitely resonate more with being an older soul. I feel like even, you know, ever since I was little, I felt like I was just different, you know, like I was always very aware of, I feel like older souls are more open to things because our souls have lived so many past lives and we are, you know, we have that familiarity to these certain beliefs and stuff. So even when I was younger, I was always super, super drawn to like the moon. And, you know, I was looking into psychic mediums all the time, like as a little child. And I remember like my family and my, you know, mom and dad being like, oh, this girl is nuts, you know? And so I always felt like, you know, even from when I was a younger child, that something was different about me. I just didn't really know up until, you know, my initial spiritual awakening, that there was something different in this lifetime for me.
Yeah, I just wonder because I feel more less of an older soul, but kind of in the middle of like a new, not a brand new soul, but like in the middle. So I wonder too if there was like, my mind just wanders if there's any connection with like people that work as healers in this lifetime. Like my mind just wanders like, are all of them like, is all of their paths like going to be awakened by this energy? Or if it really just depends on like if they're, you know, if past karma to clear out.
Yeah, I think that being a healer is not necessarily going to mean that you're going to have this energy. I think, you know, because I do feel like a lot of old soul or a lot of healers will have lived, like you said, you think that you're kind of in the middle, that our soul has enough experience to, you know, even find out about this energy or kind of have information about it. So I personally, I don't think that it's necessarily about how many lives you've lived as to whether you get to experience this energy or not. But even like, you know, like I said, even back in 2019, I had no idea what that was. And even when I look back on 2019, from 2019 to 2023, I was like, wow, my life had changed so much. So even it had awakened and it kind of shook it a little bit. So my spiritual journey kind of kept going up and up from there. And then when it actually started rising, that's when I was like, wow, this is it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, people might have these experiences and you might not even know that it had happened, just like me.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, have I had one?
Yeah. You gotta like go through.
Yeah. It's interesting that you realized it after that. And it was such a large gap, like 4 years.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me. I'm sure you pondered this of why you felt that energy back in 2019. Like, do you feel like emotionally you needed it or like you were ready for it? Or was it like that you needed to bring like any shifts that you needed to kind of make in your own life? And that's maybe what sparked it. I wonder what your thoughts are for you.
Yeah, I honestly think that, so my spiritual awakening, so when I was aware of consciousness and enlightenment and all those things, it must have been maybe a couple years before the initial Kundalini awakening. So during that time, that's when I had known there was more and there was a higher power and that I had kind of purpose here on this earth. That's when I had started kind of seeing these things, you know, kind of seeing the 11-11 and, you know, getting into crystals and stuff like that, getting tarot readings. I felt like that had happened to me in that very moment, because that was the moment where the universe decided that I needed to start really looking at myself and really diving deep into kind of like my own traumas and my coping mechanisms. And, you know, like the way that I lived my life was not working. I was so blind to everything. And before that initial awakening, like, yeah, I believed in crystals and 1111 and stuff like that. But like the depth of that part was not really anything. And then the Kundalini awakening happened. And that's when I was like, okay, this is where I have to, like, the way that I'm living my life right now is not working. Like, I'm actually just masking a lot of my own issues, and I never saw them up until that point. So when that had happened, that's when I was like, okay, like, I need to change. I need to live life better. I need to start, you know, back in the day, I was partying a lot. I was literally just running away from all my emotions. I was the biggest people pleaser, like so many things. So I feel like that's why that had happened in that moment in time, was because it like my soul was ready to start clearing out the karma.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I felt like there was like a shift that needed to be done, and that's why it kind of like froze. What other shifts have you noticed after that awakening in 2019? Did you notice, like, you know, like friendships fading away, like having to cut out bad habits and people around you, maybe career changes, like anything like that just pops out at you during that time of like?
Yeah. So in 2019, I had gone through a separation, and basically that separation had sent me into full-on depression, like full depression. And I had never felt that kind of feeling in my life. Like, I've been through multiple heartbreaks and stuff like that. And that one was the one that just truly, truly shook me. And I had never felt that low in my life. And I went into full-on isolation. I pushed a lot of my friends away from me, and thankfully the ones that were meant to be are still here to this day, because they understood. But I was a completely different person. I didn't know who I was. My whole question to my own existence, like so many things. I started really kind of diving deep into my abandonment wounds. I pushed my family away. And this also is a big part of, you know, even just a normal spiritual awakening, is the dark night of the soul, is where you go into this really dark place where you have to really face yourself and really start to, you know, really look at the person that you are. And then I had met my partner, my current partner now. And basically after that, I remember, now that I look back at it, it subsided quite a bit, because I'm having the initial like enlightenment of like being in love and, you know, not really focusing on my spiritual practice, because I'm so like all over the map of being in love and the new and exciting things. And, you know, when I had reconnected with my dad that I didn't have a relationship with, that's when I had started really starting going back into the depression that I had never healed prior to meeting him. And a lot had surfaced in that moment. And now when the Kundalini started rising, this was a different story, because it was not just like, you know, abandonment issues and isolation and dark night of the soul. But when the Kundalini started rising in 2023, after my dad passed away, and when I had gotten hit with another, you know, the feeling of euphoria, and that had only lasted for, I think, maybe like a week or so. I remember it lasting quite a bit, but this was when I had the shift to move into purpose. I actually met a friend who I moved into purpose with. You know, I'm still in that state, but one of the biggest and scariest things that happened during this time was I was able to connect to spirits. And I had known that I had been able to do that prior because I had kind of had experiences when I was doing plant medicine and whatnot. But that was one of my biggest things with the Kundalini awakening process. That was quite scary for me because when that had hit me and when I had started developing those gifts, I was like super overwhelmed. I went through so many stages of just like, I can't do this. And I told Kundalini energy, I was like, I don't know if you're listening, but please shut this down because it was way too scary for me. And I think it was maybe a couple months later that I was like, okay, you can please bring it back up, but just like, you can reopen this, but just slowly.
Do you think that we have the power to tell the Kundalini energy to slow down?
So that was the thing, is I still don't know if I was like talking to Kundalini energy or if I was just talking to, you know, my guides and my angels. And, you know, so I think regardless, you do have communication, and that connection to yourself more than anything is to be like, you're able to be like, hey, please shut this down. This is scaring me. Or please slow this down. This is scaring me. And I think that's like, even just it's our own inner essence that we're able to do that with more than anything, right?
Yeah. Though I tell people that all the time with developing people and mentors and doing mentorships. I teach people like this kind of feels like the same, or spirit, you know, spirit scaring you. If you don't want spirit to show up at your bedside table at night, you can tell them to go away. Like you can set those rules. So it's nice to hear that people can also do that if they're experiencing Kundalini energy as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And you feel like you're out of control, but you're actually in control. And same with everything in your life, right? Like you feel like you need to, like you don't have this control, but you really do. Like with all of this, it's not just going to rise like crazy because, and make you feel like super scared if you don't want it. Like the minute that I told it to shut down, all of it shut down. And it got to a point where I was like, okay, like, where is it? I miss it. You know?
One thing that I wanted to just go backwards on just for a quick second is when you said I found my purpose during your Kundalini awakening, did you feel like you found your purpose like from downloads? Did you find that you were getting a lot of downloads, or like how did you find that you found your purpose?
So this is kind of an interesting story. Is I met a girl and she is soul connections coach. So she helps people through soul connections and whatnot. And when I had met her, we met through really weird kind of, you know, she messaged me for a photo shoot. And I was like, just because of the way that her account was, I was like, is this even real? Like, you know, like I thought it was kind of a joke. And when she had actually sent me a deposit for the photography booking, I was like, oh, okay, this girl's real. And I told her after looking at her profile, I was like, I feel like we have a lot in common. And so I remember driving to that photo shoot. And for some reason, I felt this like it was, you know, now that I think about it, it was probably the Kundalini energy. And it was like excitement. And I don't know, it felt like I was meeting my boyfriend for the first time, and that same feeling, but in the most platonic way. And I don't know, as I met her, it was immediate connection. And we were talking for back and forth forever. And then we had gone out for lunch a month later. But in between this time, she had told me upon our first meeting, she was like, yeah, I'm actually, you know, moving into purpose and, you know, really wanting to live that out in my life. And I was like, oh yeah, like I'm not there yet. And, you know, I definitely wasn't there yet. I was taking like Reiki clients and, you know, doing my tarot readings and stuff like that. But I had known that it was kind of like I was doing it because I really wanted to, you know, do healing and whatnot, but I wasn't like fully moved into it yet. It was kind of like the unknown area. And then I had met her for lunch a month later, and it was, I think it must have been a couple weeks before I had met her for lunch. That's when I had felt the Kundalini energy for the first time. And then I had met her, and I had known that, or for lunch anyways, we got to know each other a lot more than we did on our first initial photo shoot. And then I had met her, and she started talking about kind of what she had wanted to do and move into women's circles and stuff like that. And I was like, oh yeah, like we should do that together. And not really having tons of desire to be doing all of this. And then I think it was maybe a month later, I had another girl message me from, you know, a life like 5 years ago. And we used to party, like I met her at a party one time. And she had gone down her spiritual path, and she had asked me, hey, I see that you do Reiki and sound healing. Can you be help me facilitate my women's circles? So it was actually not until I started getting into it, of being in that dynamic with the women's circles, where I was like, wow, like this is actually really what I want to do. Is I want to be healing. I want to be connecting women. I want to be sharing, you know, the stuff that I have learned. And it was not until that moment where she kind of really kind of pushed me to get into that. That's when I was like, you know, months later, after doing it many times, I was like, I know exactly what I want to do now. And then the other girl that I had met with during photography, we are currently moving into that together, and we're creating a lot together. It isn't fully out and presented yet, but we are in the movement of it. And yeah, I look back on it now and I'm like, I met both of these girls to help me move into purpose. And yeah, that's definitely, you know, as the Kundalini was rising, it was showing me like what my soul was meant to do.
That's so amazing. I love that. And I love that they both reached out to you out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
That's so interesting. It's like people are, it's like they're being called to reach out to you, and then you are being called to be open to it and to actually, okay, maybe we should meet for a coffee, or we should meet and connect. And once you connect, you're like, okay, this feels like so right, that there feels like there's something there, right?
Exactly. And even meeting you on my path was part of that too.
Oh, I love that. I know, I love connecting together with you. And I feel like we bounce off each other like we could literally do an all-day podcast, I think.
Totally.
Well, thank you for being so like vulnerable and sharing your story. And I think, and being so like going deep and just being raw about everything. Cause I feel like people, you know, they think that the spiritual journey is like the easy journey. It's like, oh, I want to feel happy every day. I want to feel enlightened. I want to feel like I have a purpose. And people think spirituality is just something so easy, but it's not. It's like you have to heal your, as you get into spirituality and you learn, you're doing so much healing, and not everybody is like ready to do that healing. Yeah. So it's tough. So I really appreciate you being vulnerable about how everything kind of unfolded for you. There's so much there. And I think so many people can relate to certain aspects of that and feel very seen and heard from listening to your story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, you know, when I hear you say that about spiritual awakening, I don't know if you've seen those like memes on Instagram, but it's literally like this is what a spiritual awakening actually is. And it's like that little meme of someone like holding onto a roller coaster and going up and down and feeling crazy. And yeah, the reality of it is there's so much, like, you know, where there's light, there has to be dark, and you have to have that balance and polarization of both those energies. It's not just glitters and rainbows, and it's not an easy journey. It's not for the faint-hearted, whether it's a spiritual awakening or a Kundalini awakening. Like, it's not an easy path. So yeah, like, you need to find that support system, and you need to find, you know, your soul family that's all going to come in and help you throughout this process. And even to this day, I'm continuously learning from all the people that I meet, and, you know, even you, and you've taught me so much. So yeah.
I've had goosebumps like off and on throughout this whole episode, and like,
me too.
And like, I could feel my higher self coming in. Like, I always get tingles on the top of my head. But just like, is there anything that comes to mind for tools that somebody can use going forward if they start to feel like they might be going through a Kundalini awakening?
Yeah, I feel like if you feel like you're going through a Kundalini awakening, is one of, so very early on, before I had met that teacher at the tea ceremony, I had went to my acupuncturist, and I had told her kind of what was happening. And she didn't really go too much into it, but all she said was, "Nomo, just let it be and just let it happen." That was the only advice she gave me. And at the time, I was like, "Oh, that is such terrible advice." I'm like, I need more. And I think, like, another thing I learned in this process is the ego wants to constantly know more, and the ego constantly wants to know where your life is going and how fast you're going to be able to awaken and be this enlightened being. And I think literally she gave me the best advice was just let it be and just let it happen. And now, almost being, you know, less than a year into feeling this Kundalini rise, that was the best thing I could ever tell anyone, is just, if you feel it, you can seek advice from, you know, ask people about it, read the books, listen. I've listened to so many podcasts and watched so many documentaries, but, and like, find your knowledge about it, but don't do anything to try and manipulate it or make it rise faster, and just like let it be, like surrender to what's happening in your life.
That's great advice. Do you have any books or documentaries or podcasts that you think that would be very helpful for that, that comes to you?
Yes, there is a book. It's called Kundalini Rising, Exploring the Energy of the Awakening. And you can get it on Amazon. I had a friend, she had told me, because I had told her that I was kind of experiencing this energy, and she's all about like kind of learning and stuff like that. So she went and bought this book. And then so I bought it shortly after. And that book is amazing. On top of that, I can't even, like, if you just go on YouTube and just type in what is a Kundalini awakening, and that, like, YouTube was my biggest friend. I can't even tell you which podcasts or documentaries, because I watch so many. I could definitely probably send you some links if you really wanted that, but start with the book. And yeah, like, there's so much information out there, but there's also tons of like false information out there too about it. So you just have to be careful where your sources are.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about that I may have not have brought up, or anything that else comes to mind that you find is important just to leave the listeners on?
I think we pretty much like covered everything. But yeah, like going back to the light versus dark, is that's one thing I kind of had to learn back a few months ago, is like, you know, you can't just be this light being. And in this Kundalini rising part of my life, I had like really, really dark, scary moments that, you know, that happened to me. And, you know, I wish I could have told myself back then, like, just let this happen and understand that where there is light, there is dark, and you have to learn how to polarize that energy. And yeah, that's it. So if you do get to that point, just remember that with anything, light versus dark, and you can't have this human experience without experiencing both of them, right?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. When you say that you learned how to work with the dark energy, is there anything that would be comes to mind that might be helpful for people?
Well, this would be a whole nother different story, but I went into a plant ceremony probably 4 or 5 months ago. But prior to this happening, I had this like dark figure that was like, I actually have a spirit that I work with all the time. But this dark figure was actually clouding this spirit. And I had no idea until I went into this plant ceremony. And I didn't even ask for this intention to come through, but I was actually shown that this dark figure was like coming into my dreams, like I was having sleep paralysis, and it was attached to me. And so after the ceremony, I was like, oh my God, I need to get this. I was like, what am I like latched on by this entity or spirit, or like, what is this? Right. And long story short, I was actually at a women's circle and someone had randomly popped in at very last minute. And she had led me to doing work on my past lives to actually clear this energy. But at the time I had thought that it was like a scary dark entity. And like, I had to really understand that, like, you know, after she did the clearing and everything, I had to really understand that when you are working with this kind of energy, and I'm sure you know this as well, is like, you have to, number one, be clearing yourself all the time. But also like understanding that there is dark energies that come through and they are just a part of this whole experience, right? So I think the more I tried to push it away and the more that I tried to think that it wasn't a part of this experience, things got worse for me. Whereas when I started to face it and when I started to, you know, integrate it and realize that there is light and there is dark, that's when I was able to actually move through this whole process more.
Okay. So it's more of just being aware of it and accepting it, but not like interacting it with it, of course.
Yes.
Okay. And did you find that you had to do anything to get rid of that dark energy that was clouding over your main guide or spirit?
Yeah. Well, she did, the girl that I met at my woman's circle, she did a past life regression. And to clarify, it actually wasn't a dark entity or a dark spirit, which she had thought when I had just been speaking to her. Because that's what I had thought it was. And I was like, oh my God. But it was actually like a reflection of my own ego and what that spirit was attached to. So that spirit was attached to like my relationships and, you know, kind of like how I move through. And that entity, like quote unquote, which I thought was, it was actually like my own ego. So does that make sense?
Yes, for sure. Can I ask about the ego? Because ego has been coming up so much for me lately. And it's like, I've been writing like every year, like when I pack up the Christmas stuff, like I write a note to myself and I pack it in the Christmas stuff. And every holiday season when I unpack the Christmas decorations, I'm like, oh, there's this like, it's almost like a time capsule. There's this note of things that I wish to like accomplished by the next year in the Christmas time. But like on my note this year, and some of my notes, I'm just like, I shoot very high to the stars where I'm like, okay, how did I think that was impossible for one whole year? But I think that's important as well. But like to have some more realistic ones, like one I have is like, less ego and be more heart-centered. And I think that's like what I want to embody in this lifetime. It's like not just this year, but like every year. And like this year, I just really want to let go deeper on a deeper level of the ego, and really just lean into the heart, because that's how I want to show up in this world. That's how I want to work with spirit. That's how I want to lead other people in their spiritual journeys. So I would love to talk about ego, because we did mention it a couple times. Like when you think of ego, I think people think that it's such a bad thing. And it's just like, well, it's just a part of us, and we all have it because we come here as human beings, souls in human bodies, and it's just something that we have. So I wonder, like, yeah, what are your thoughts when you think of ego? Like,
yeah, well, I think what you're saying is exactly like it hit the nail on the head, right? And for me, in this whole Kundalini awakening process, you go through stages of what you think ego is. So for me, for example, at first I was like, okay, like, here's my ego. I want nothing to do with it. And there's actually like over 8,000 forms of ego. Like those, like, there's so many different forms of ego. And I think the more that kind of at the beginning of my journey, I'm like, I don't want any ego. I'm going to be this person that's eventually going to be ego free. And like, that is so not even like realistic in this human experience, because even the most enlightened being is going to have to work with their ego. And I think, you know, like you said, it's recognizing it. It's knowing what it is, number one. It's recognizing it. And instead of pushing it away, it's allowing and accepting that it is a part of you, and to really integrate that part. And, you know, like, for example, when my ego comes up, I'm like, okay, this is my ego. Hello, I hear you. What kind of ego is this? Is this insecurity? Is this guilt? Is this shame? And I actually start talking to it. Like, I have full-on dialogues with, like I named one ego and it's called insecure Sally. I literally call her, and every time it comes up is, okay, I'm like, insecure Sally, like, I feel insecure, I feel these feelings, and I want to, because like going into like inner child work and stuff is like, instead of being like, this is not a part of me, it's being like, hey, I'm allowed to have these feelings. I'm allowed to feel insecure. I'm allowed to feel shame, guilt. I'm allowed to feel unlovable. And then from there, that's where you have to actually like work with it and transform it, and being like, hey, it's okay that you feel this way, but why don't we try to change that thought? Why don't we try to transform it? So we'll actually have this conversation and be like, okay, well, what do you need right now? Do you need a hug? Do you need a bath? Do you, you know, I try to not have external sources feeding my ego anymore. So, you know, if it's a friend telling you that you're the greatest person alive, or your boyfriend telling you that you're the most beautiful person alive, and those are so not even like, they're only going to feed your ego for a certain amount of time. Whereas like actual intrinsic love is found within yourself. So instead of trying to get my boyfriend to tell me how much he loves me, I actually will go, and if I'm feeling a certain way, I'll go and take a bath. I'll go and do a meditation. I'll go and do a gym workout. And sometimes I'll actually just like touch parts of my body and be like, where are you hurting right now? And I'll try to soothe it. Like, you know, when you're soothing a baby, you're like rubbing that part. So I'll like feel my heart, and I'll like constantly just put my hand on it. And that practice in itself, the somatic practice of feeling where that ego is within your body, has helped me so much. Like, that has actually transformed my view on ego. And yeah, that's the integration, is like, you need to have both. And for the longest time, for the beginning of my journey, I was like, I can't feel insecure. Like, I hear it, but I can't feel this way. And so nothing was actually integrating until I was like, I do feel this way, and let me heal this part of me. You know what I mean?
I think noticing it for sure and being aware of it is the first step.
Exactly.
And knowing that, like, when you can get to that point where you're like, when you start to notice it, like, that's huge, because some people, they don't notice it. It just becomes
exactly
who they are and how they think, and they don't think that it's ego. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's to, you know, when you're not noticing where the ego is, that's when you go into self-soothing practices where it's like toxic, you know, where it's like drugs, alcohol, where people are literally just running away from their feelings and escaping because they're not willing to look at it, right? So that's why in the spiritual journey, when you start actually looking at these things, like all those things that you used to use as coping mechanisms no longer work anymore. Where you want to turn it back around on yourself and you're like, no, I need to find this within myself, right?
100%. Okay, so before we finish up, I have a quick rapid fire. What's your sun, rising, and moon?
Okay, I'm a Virgo sun. I am a Taurus moon. And Pisces rising.
I'm also a Taurus moon.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I have a lot of Taurus in my chart. Okay, so number two, or which animal would you incarnate as?
I would be a whale.
And why?
Because I feel like the whale is such like it's such a majestic animal, but the teachings behind the whale is, you know, like it just moves through the water, and it, like the way that it just like, just the water movement and like the energy of the whale, like I really connect to like the ocean. And yeah, I just think that it's literally the most majestic animal. And it's actually one of the spirit animals that I work with, and I connect so much to it. So I would be a whale.
What type of whale?
A blue whale.
All right. Number three, what is the best prank that you've ever played on somebody or that they have played on you?
Best prank. One time I... My boyfriend, he like hates like dog poo or like, you know, just anything dirty. And he loves my dog, but he hates like the whole dirty aspect of it because he's like OCD. He's never owned a dog. And I actually, I wish I had it here now, but I was out with my girlfriend's daughter. I was taking her out for the day, and me and her, we bought this like, it was like a fake poo. And we like put it on his like in his room because we thought that it was gonna be like my dog Bella did the poo, and he just like freaked out, and it was the best prank ever.
Oh my gosh. Was it on the ground, or was it like, I feel like you should have put it in his bed or something?
Well, originally we put it in the bed and we're like, no, this is like way too obvious. Like he's going to know what this is. So we just kind of put it on the ground, but he still like lost his mind.
Oh my gosh. I love a good prank.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite book or podcast about anything, actually?
Okay. My favorite book, I would actually say, I actually have a lot of books that I really like. This one here, it's called Soul Retrieval, Mending the Fragmented Self. And I actually really, really liked reading this book. That is probably one of my favorite books that I have read this year, along with the Kundalini Rising one. That was very informative. But yeah, I really liked that Soul Retrieval one. And it actually wasn't one of those books that were like it's super mainstream. I actually picked it up in like a bookstore. It was like in the random corner, and it was like a really, really good book. So I definitely recommend that one.
Who's the author?
It is Ingerman. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Sandra Ingerman.
Okay. I feel like you have a few favorite books. Is there any other books that you'd want to mention?
Yes. I also have, right now I am reading, it's called Plant Spirit Medicine. So that book is, it's all about kind of working with plants and trees and kind of learning how to integrate that all into your life. So I really like that one. I'm reading that one right now. And one that's very, very informative, it's called The Body Keeps Score. I don't know. That one's actually a really popular one. And one more other one. It's called The Marshmallow Test. Psychology wise, these ones are, those last two that I said are freaking amazing. So, and I've learned a lot and transformed from both of those books. So,
wow, I haven't heard the marshmallow one. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, and one more. I love that. Yeah. That Untethered Soul is a really good one. And that's a really popular one too.
That is a good one. But yeah, that's popular, but like one of the staples.
Yeah, totally.
And you have a podcast that's a favorite podcast other than Spirit Soup?
I was going to say yours. No, I actually, I have been listening to a lot of Erin Dowdy. Do you know who that is?
No.
So, and then Erin Abke is really good. I love Lauren Krenn. Bella Devine, she's an influencer, but she's really good as well. So I'm honestly like all over the place.
I haven't heard of any of them, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll send them to you.
Yeah, I'll check them out. Okay, what inspires you?
What inspires me is I love kind of, number one is being in nature. I live downtown Vancouver, right in the heart of Yaletown, and I'm starting to find that it's becoming too chaotic for my energy, even though I've actually lived here for quite some time. But I think I'm actually at this point in my life where I find so much peace and inspiration when I'm like out, not like, not even just that like Kits Beach type of thing. Like I like to be like way deep in the woods or like way, you know, somewhere really beautiful and isolated. So nature is definitely a number one thing that I need for my own inspiration and my own mental health.
Me too. Even Kitsilano, yeah. I like love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. But
too many people. I need to get out of the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Peter's always totally. Like, want to move to Edmonton because we're looking at like more like another house property to buy. It's like, do you want to live in Edmonton? My first thought is no. But then
yeah.
I'm like, well, honestly, I'd live anywhere as long as I'm in the middle of nature. I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is Kits is so beautiful and I've done so much healing in Kits and I love it, but it's just, there's nothing that can compare to being in full isolation and away from the city. And like, you know, there's something really, really different about that.
And I never look forward to the summers because it's just so many, all the people. I'm like,
yeah. So chaotic. So bad for your energy.
The downtown is probably a little bit next level busy for sure.
Yeah. I honestly need to get out of here soon. I told Jordan we have maybe maximum 2 years here and then we're moving out of the city.
I feel that. We'll maybe live in the middle of a forest and there'll just be two houses for you.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
Just a couple more questions. What was the last thing that you Googled?
Oh, let's see.
I love this question. It's so random.
Okay, so aside from the Kundalini Rising book, because I had to Google that for you, but it was the Alpaca Coat Peru.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I went to a Christmas party and my brother-in-law, he's like, here, throw on this alpaca coat. It's from Peru. My friend bought it from Peru. And I put it on and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I love it so much. And I was like, he knew that I loved it. He's like, you're not stealing that. And I was like, but where do I get one? He's like, it's literally straight from Peru. And so I was like looking online for like where I could find that exact one, but you can't find one. You got to go to Peru.
The next trip for 2024.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you familiar with The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Kind of. I used to watch it.
What would your limo entrance be for the night one? Oh.
I would honestly, I would show up in my alpaca coat.
There you go.
And I would have like crystals and I'd bring a sound bowl.
Okay. Which sound bowl would you pick?
I would bring my, I have a Morganite one. It's like a really beautiful Morganite. I think it's like a D plus note, but it's very, very beautiful. It's my favorite one.
Is there something that you would say when you like walk up to the bachelor?
I would literally be like, this is who I am. And if it freaks you out, then we're not meant to be together. And I literally said, so prior to meeting Jordan, I spent a year alone and I was like, I don't want to hide who I am anymore. And I am a very, you know, like I am, this is what I want to do. And when I, on me and Jordan's first date, I started talking about like spirits and like, you know, my psychic experiences and how I do Reiki. And honestly, I was like, I do not care what this guy thinks about me. And even to this day, I'll like, you know, make him do Reiki. Or one time I did like a fire ceremony on my balcony and he came outside and like he was sleeping. He came outside and he's like, oh my God, what is she doing? And like freaked out and went back into the room. And the next day he's like, what were you doing? And I was like, he's like, I thought you were doing some sort of like seance or something. And I'm like, I wasn't. I was doing a fire cedar ceremony, but I'm surprised you didn't leave me if you thought that of me. But I guess like, yeah, I just don't care what people think anymore like I used to, but I need to be able to embrace who I fully am in front of someone. So if I was on The Bachelor, literally the first thing I would be like, this is me, and if you don't like it or if you think it's too hokey pokey for you, then you can go. And I don't expect him to be that person. I just want him to accept me.
That's perfect. That's perfect in finding your person. And that's good advice for anybody listening to this, even if they're not going on The Bachelor.
Totally. It's even like you and Peter, like, you know, Peter knows that you do all this stuff. And I'm sure he doesn't like fully believe, you know, that it could happen to him or whatever. But like, he just supports you.
For sure. He's definitely not on the same path as me. And
that's okay.
Let's go for the last question. What has been your favorite piece of advice you've ever received?
My favorite advice, I think kind of just what I was saying is stick to your truths is number one. And the more you allow people to kind of, you know, manipulate your thoughts and change your path and, you know, tell you differently, like that's where your life is going to go not smoothly. You're going to end up suffering. And I think just stick to your truths and your path, regardless of what anyone thinks. And that would be my number one advice that I ever got.
I have loved this conversation so much. Thank you so much for coming on. How can people find you? How can people connect with you? What are you currently offering? Just tell us all the things.
I do monthly women's circles. You can find me on The Moon Ask the Stars on Instagram. And I hold monthly women's circles, and we do them, a lot of them at the Mandala by VR in Yale Town. But we do them all over Vancouver as well. And I am a Seikim energy healer as well as a sound healer. And I do those privately out of my home as well.
Do you work mostly in person or do you do some online sessions?
For now, I actually do everything in person. That is just something that, I don't know, like I know that online is totally effective, but I like the whole in-person, like I just love that. So until I can learn how to be comfortable with like the online thing, everything will be in person for now.
Perfect. Yeah, there's something different. The connection's different in person.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It still works the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And I was going to ask you, what is the difference between Seikim? Am I saying it right? Seikim healing?
Yeah. Yeah. So Seikim energy healing, it is actually a stronger modality than what we usually know of Reiki. So Seikim holds four different modalities. So it has the Reiki energy, and then it has Sakara, which is fire energy, which really helps burn through blockages. And then there is the Sofiel, which is the water energy, and that kind of runs the energy through kind of like through your emotions. And then there's the angelic light, which really works on the crown chakra and allows you to kind of connect to your third eye more. So it is a stronger modality than what we like. I honestly tell people that it's just Reiki, and then when they show up to the session, I'm like, yeah, this is actually Seikim, and obviously they're happier about it. But it's more of an unknown, it's different, and there's not a lot of Seikim healers out there as opposed to like Reiki, because Reiki's so like, it's like that's the one that most people have the attunement to. So
Awesome. That sounds so interesting. And I haven't had a session yet. I want to come to visit you for a session.
Oh my God. I was going to say, you have to come hang out and I'll do a session on you. We can like swap sessions.
Yeah. Okay. I'm down.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to mention before we finish up?
No, but thank you. That was so fun. I really enjoyed doing that.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you have your own story of experiencing a Kundalini awakening, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Soul Connections with Michelle. Or if you wish to share something in the comments section with a 5-star review, I love to hear back from you guys. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Don't forget to give Nomo a follow on Instagram at The Moon Ask the Stars. And keep your eyes open for online sound healing events. I am looking at doing them more frequently online and just something that helps break up the week for you guys. Spirit has been guiding me to do more like regular online events, something that's kind of affordable for people just to drop in and receive that healing during the middle of the week when I find that that's the time that I need the most healing. Because of it's in the middle of the week, and just if you're busy with work or the kids, it's nice to have that time to just do like a drop-in sound session. Keep your cameras off if you want to, and just join from the comfort of your own bed and receive without any pressure of interacting as a group experience. You know, just pop your camera off and enjoy. Hopefully, I will see you guys soon, and I'll catch you guys in the next episode.